Hello, and welcome to Sobercast, where we provide AA speaker meetings and workshops in podcast format. We're an ad-free podcast, and if you enjoy listening, please help us be self-supporting by visiting Sobercast.com, look for the donate link, and drop a dollar or two into our virtual basket. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Have a great day.
Okay. So, that I will turn the meeting over to Andy.
Thank you, Howard. My name is Andy. I'm an alcoholic, and I attend the Peninsula Primetime meetings in Birmingham. And I've been coming to Primetime for about 5 years now. And it's really had a huge impact on my life. I've been sober for 13 years prior to coming to Primetime. And my life got a lot better, but I still didn't know how much more freedom there was to be had until I really embraced this format. And it doesn't mean that everything is wonderful in my life or that my mind is not just as messed up, but I have a solution to deal with it, and I can recognize where the disease is active in my life. And last night at the meeting, listening to Randy, I reflected on something that was going on in my mind, which was I got a gift card from Starbucks or from Costco for quite a bit of money. And was very excited to go and decided today is the day that I should go, even though I really don't need anything at the store, but I wanted to get it because I have the money. And then was upset ahead of time because I know there's going to be a line. And going from this place of gratitude to anger without taking a step in any direction, but just imagining things the way they're going to be. And that's how the disease is active in my mind. I'm looking for fault in the world, and I don't even know it. The disease is active in my mind and talks to me in my own voice, and it's been that way since I was a kid, and I don't even know it's pathologic. That this mind-powered disease that I have feels so comfortable. It's like an old shoe, and it feels nice and slips on easily, and I don't even know that the disease is active in my mind as I'm going through my day, because it's just so such a routine, taking everybody else's inventory, judging how they I read Bob's book this morning with my sponsor, and we're reading about how we judge everyone's parking, and we're sitting on the street on some benches, and how every week we sit there and I judge how people park while I'm working on my recovery. And it's just so pervasive, and I don't even know what's going on. And that's what alcoholism looks like in my life today. It sits in judgment. It sits in righteousness. It sits in evaluating how the world is behaving, deciding how everyone else should act towards me. And if I don't like it, they're all wrong. And it's just been such a pervasive thing in my life that I don't even recognize it as the disease until I came to Primetime and learn about how this disease of alcoholism is active. I can look back at my life and realize that the times or the years that I drank the heaviest were actually the years that I was the most happy. And it wasn't, at least before getting into recovery, the times that I was not drinking as much, I was miserable. And I didn't know why. And it's not till I come in here and I realize that alcohol treated my alcoholism. And without alcohol, I have no treatment. Unless I treat this disease a day at a time through relating myself to a power greater than me. To tell you about my ego, before I came in here, or when I came into the rooms, I thought humility was not telling people how good I thought I was. If I kept it to myself, that then I was being humble. And when I went away to treatment for the first time, I thought they would benefit from my input and my feedback to them about how they could improve their program. I wasn't there to help myself. I wasn't there to be grateful and say, thank you for giving me a new life and a new way to approach things. I was still very much in love with my thinking. And I didn't even know that was part of my problem. It's not till afterwards, till I look back on things, that I can see that my thinking is the problem, and has been for a very long time. The first step teaches me powerlessness, and the idea that I'm powerless over alcohol and I need to stay sober one day at a time through surrendering the idea that I can't drink was very helpful. I didn't realize how much power I was missing in other things outside of just the alcohol. That when people would share about being powerless over people, places, and things, I heard it, but I still thought that I could control things through just managing well. It really wasn't until coming to prime time that I saw that as part of my dis-ease, and that's where my disease lives on a daily basis. And it stays there unless I'm engaged with a power greater than myself, asking for help to take care of all those things I can't manage on my own, which is pretty much everything. And so the first step, the principles that I've learned with my sponsor, aside from powerlessness, is surrender. And if I'm not surrendered completely in that first step, I have no need for the second and third steps in my life because I am the power. The third step talks about surrendering turning my will and my life over to the care of this power. And the second step is about allowing this power to restore me to sanity, or being hopeful that the power can restore me to sanity. I really thought that if I understood this power and developed a better sense of this power, that all these things would happen. I did not realize and recognize that's how I lived the step. I didn't realize that it was how well I turned my will and my life over to that power, that was going to be the determining factor of how pleasant or unpleasant I was in living my life. I thought that if I can only understand God and the attributes of God and make a list of all the positive and things that I want my higher power to look like and be like, and I really understood it, that would be the key. And while I still managed everything myself, what I came to realize is that if I could just simplify things and have that power in my life be not me, I don't have to understand it. And so I like to say that the power, the best way for me to relate that power is really through music. And I love lyrics and songs. Even when I don't understand what they mean fully, I still have this mind that captures lyrics. And my favorite one is from Bob Dylan, "It Ain't Me." And when I could relate myself to Bob Dylan's line, "It ain't me you're looking for," that's where I find my higher power, a power greater than myself. That it just has to be not me. And I could find that power in talking with other people, in listening to meetings, in reading a book, in getting, in connecting through prayer. There's many ways that I could, in nature, many, many ways that I could find a connection with a power greater than myself, as long as it's not me. And what I used to do was when I was in trouble, I would talk to myself. I would say, "Andy, you've done this before. You could do it again. Andy, come on, dig deep. You can do it." And what I realized I was doing was praying to myself and not praying to a higher power. I was going to self for solution. And that's really not what this is about. And I didn't even know I was doing it because I talked to myself in my own voice and I would have conversations with that self. And they were pleasing. But I didn't realize that I wasn't living the second and third steps in those moments. I was just trying to find a solution. And the solution that I chose was me, not a power greater than myself. And so that's become really important to me, is when I find myself praying to myself to coach myself out of a certain situation, I stop and I say, "You know, there you go again. Why don't you ask for help from someone greater than you or something greater than you?" And I'll say a prayer. And that helps me with that surrenderedness and that powerlessness that's in the first step and looking for help from a power greater than me. And so I did not have any clue how much and how often I went to self to solve my problems until I came to Primetime several years ago. And my life is so much richer now than it was before. I'm just so grateful that I stumbled into the meeting and found a message that resonated with me, that's helped me with my alcoholism. I really had no concept that of the degree that the disease permeated my life before coming into Primetime. I thought I had stopped. I knew I had stopped drinking, but I was still the same person that I was before, and I was irritable. I was restless. I thought if I did the program correctly and properly, that I would be happy. And properly and happy meant that I was successful. I'd feel good going to a meeting. I'd feel good coming out of a meeting. And in between the meetings, I was sitting in judgment of everything, having that running dialogue. And today I can recognize that as a problem, not a solution. And my problem is alcoholism, and it is alive and kicking and will always be kicking. And it's a matter of embracing a solution, and how well I embrace that solution on a day-to-day basis really gives me the quality of recovery that I've grown to enjoy, the freedom that I've come to cherish from this disease. We read today in Bob's book about how we have a daily reprieve from our alcoholism based on the maintenance of our spiritual condition. And what I never realized was I had always thought I have freedom from drink based on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. I never thought about the alcoholism, the ism, about being free from that based on the maintenance of my spiritual condition. It's really become incredibly important for me the more I've tasted that freedom and being able to recognize my disease and having a solution that's greater than myself. I think I'd like to stop there. I feel like I've talked enough. Thank you for asking me, Howard, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you, Andy. Okay, so if you'd like to share, raise your hand to the app, and Andy can call on you. And let me set up the timer here. You got 5 minutes overall, and you'll have a 3-minute warning.
So, how about Christine? You seem ready to share.
Hi, my name is Christine, and I am an alcoholic.
Hi, Christine.
Hi. I'm at my desk, so I didn't put the camera on. Thank you so much for your experience, strength, and hope. I'm here in New York City, and how I'm experiencing my alcoholism in the day is I lost a file this morning because I wasn't paying attention. And I didn't get up and pray. I got up and put the news on, and I lost a day's work. And I have to redo the work again, sit here quietly and mindfully redo a day's work because I was, you know, just not in my head. And I didn't read the instructions, like, on the screen, and I just clicked on something mindlessly, and then I spent, like, 2 hours on the phone with an IT guy, annoying him for my, you know, mindlessness. And when you said that you were praying to yourself and not to a higher power, that was a real aha moment for me today. And I really do that as well. You know, like I definitely vacillate between the Santa Claus God and trying to pray for God's will for me. Sometimes I'm in it. Sometimes I'm in it, and it is a great expanse of freedom. And I know it's possible because of this format. As you said, I have 10 years sober. I've been in the program 20 years, and this kind of clarity that the Primetime Message is giving me I'm like writing down my repetitive thoughts is it feels like sanity, and it feels like there's a real way out of my thinking and my mind and my how I can limit my life and my perspective and my level of service to others by my thinking, and you know, I can construct a life on my crazy thinking, and that, as I did, like a microcosm of the example of this morning, and your example of going to Kohl's, and it's just it's quite something, and I'm so grateful we're all here today, and that you shared the message, and that I really appreciate it, and thank you for letting me share.
Thank you. Who else would like to share? How about Robert?
I always press on the picture to unmute myself, but it's down this way. Hello, good morning, Robert Alcoholic. Especially back there. Oh, it's 3:00 in the East Coast, right? 3:30. I'm grateful to be in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. I go to the same meeting Andy attends, and know Andy a little bit. Thanks so much, Andy. You have said this before. I noticed this a while back. You said, you know, your higher power, like as far as something beyond myself. And I kind of caught on to that. I hope I'm not misquoting you. You know, my higher power has changed, has evolved, and you know, over the years. And I like that definition because you know, it doesn't have to be. You know, that's what I love about AA. We're not boxed in. We can have a God of our own understanding, and sometimes or a power greater than ourselves, and sometimes for me, because our own thinking and our own mind, or at least mine, isn't always on the right track, or usually isn't on the right track because I have the ism. So sometimes it's just as simple as, you know, what's the prudent thing? What would a prudent person do in this situation? What would a person that I trust their judgment do in this situation? Instead of my mind, what I'm thinking, what I want to do right now. And sometimes that's the better, you know, that's the better choice. As simple as that, instead of, you know, or, you know, the other end of the spectrum could be, you know, people pray to a omniscient, all-knowing, all-powerful God. Some people, that's their higher power. That, to me, that's not. But that's okay. And sometimes it's just a program, you know, following the steps of the program. I like what you said about, you know, the thinking, because before I got on here, I was on a Teams call with my group. And so now we're all at work. So we're now meeting on Teams, and there's 13 of us. And you were talking about sitting on the curb and watching people park. And, you know, I'm with my coworkers and why does this guy got to go on and on about this minutia? And I'm judging him. And really the guy, and the other hand, you know, and then I call the boss and I'm like, well, how do I do this spreadsheet and this and that? I know what that guy would know how to do it because he loves this kind of stuff. And I got to reel myself back and appreciate people and see things how they are instead of how my mind wants to perceive that judging, that judgmental, that critical mind. And look at myself, you know, that's the thing, this program, the gift that it gave me, this program gave me, is that there are other people in the world besides me, okay? And as simple as that. And thanks so much, Andy. I even made notes. Let's see. The battle. Oh, embracing the solution. And that's what I love about Primetime, because it is focused on the solution. I love this. The Primetime message is just focused on solution. And, you know, in our preamble that Powered Read, you know, no drunkalogs, blaming others. And, you know, it used to be all about that. And now with Primetime, there's no room for that. And that's what I love about these meetings. And appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Robert. How about Timothy?
Hey, I'm Tim. I'm a recovered alcoholic. And thank you for your share at the opening. That was wonderful. It struck up some real thoughts for me. I work with a fair amount of newcomers, and I was just trying to explain to a newcomer how to get that first step down. I was always praying that I could find relief in my own belief system. That's what you really touched on, praying for the control. I wanted those two fists with no consequences, right? That is what I truly wanted when I was faced with my honesty. The problem was the insanity that I believed that I was praying. I was actually praying to God, let me control my drinking. That's the insanity of the disease. Using those inner thoughts to control it, right? And those inner belief systems that were so screwed up. What I believe about this disease was my interpretation, not the book's interpretation. And I stayed in a lot of trouble for years before because of that. Fear drove everything I did because, in truth, I knew deep down that I couldn't trust me. I had never been truly honest about me to anybody, including me. My spiritual condition is removing what I believe first and accept that my job is to carry the message, that message being love, not fear. The first step could not become true for me until I let go of all belief that I could help myself. This is not a self-help program. That's what I kept thinking it was. When I sat down and did the book, can I believe in the book's interpretation, or do I believe in my interpretation of the book? My second step didn't come for me until I did my fifth step and then my sixth step. And that's where the true belief and the true, yeah, I'm going to turn this over, that's not an issue anymore. Do I have to work on it on a daily basis? Absolutely. Do I find myself taking it back all the time? Sure. But if I can operate out of love, not fear, at home in meetings with sponsors, with sponsees, if I'm operating out of love, I'm getting close to the spiritual condition that I'm looking for. Thanks.
Thank you, Tim. How about Janine?
Hey, good afternoon. It is afternoon here in Boston. And thank you so much for your share. I was chuckling and Andy had me laughing at myself. Robert had me laughing at myself. But I'm laughing with you, not at you, just so you know. And so I love Primetime. I cannot get enough of it. I'm having my difficulties. So just so you know, I am on. I have to look at the calendar. I'm on day 11 of my own doctor-ordered self-quarantine, and I'm not sick enough to be tested. I'm not sick enough to be hospitalized, and I'm grateful for that. I just am. But I'm sick enough to sit here in my own mind and complain. And I'm by myself. It's me and the cat. And I'm just feeling really down. So, I've been thinking about this, and this is what I want to say about my ism. You know, how true is my word? How true is my word? And I can tell you my word is, I can't be in my own mind. I have to be surrounded by you. I didn't put my video on because I don't even want to look at myself, which is a bad sign. I'm fit to be tied. You know, I'm respecting others. I'm not going out. I barely open the door to get the mail. And a couple of friends, you know, I have some really close friends. And now I'm like, you know what? I don't know. I really like, they're like, what can I do? Can I help you? And, you know, they don't live alone. They're able to go out and go to the store. And a couple of things I asked them. And you know what? Nobody can come into my rescue. And even my own family, I'm a little kind of pissed. You know, I know God's laughing at me saying, you damn fool, there's nothing you even need. What are you complaining about? And I'm getting a dose of reality that I always thought I'm prepared. And then I listen to you guys telling me it's in the steps. I got to do the work. And I know I just don't feel well. I'm just not 100%. It's not an excuse. It just is what it is. I'm fatigued and just trying to stay healthy. So I wanted to just claim my seat and just whine. W-I-N-E. No, W-H-I-N-E. See, I can't even be trusted in my own head. I can't even. Oh, my word, I'm just a mess. But I do have some really great news. There's always some joy. Always, always look for the joy. So I might have shared in this group, I don't remember, but I have a son who's a Marine, United States military. He's in Afghanistan, and he's packing up. So he'll be in U.S. soil. Like, he can't tell us any information. It's all confidential, but he will be back. And he won't be able to come here. He has to quarantine. And anyway, I'm really excited about that. And like, to me, like, that's my joy, you know. And so, you know, what can I do for others? I can't do much for anybody right now. But I guess I could just be on the phone or on a meeting. And that's it. I love yous. I love yous with all my heart. So thanks for listening.
Thank you, Janine. Who else would like to share? I can call on some people if that works. How about Sonia?
Hi, everybody. I'm Sonia, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Sonia.
And I am joining you here from San Bruno, California. And I thought, well, I accidentally got into this meeting, and I don't know how I found a number that somebody had sent me, and off I went. And then I thought, there's actually no accidents. I'm meant to be here, and I'm meant to hear the message that you spoke about, Andy. And that's how my higher power is working in my life. You know, my higher power doesn't have me in here because of an accident. I really liked what you said, and when I first came into the room, with everybody else's fault, why I was here, it was that bartender that served my last drink before I got a DUI. It was the police officer that picked me up. It was my friend who I took home. Responsibility for my own actions.
Sonia, if you could change how you're holding the phone, it's you're scratching it out about every 30 seconds.
All right. How's this?
Better. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Alan. So I blamed everybody else, but didn't tell them I was blaming them. I was keeping that to myself. So they built up resentments there. But when I walked into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous and I started to listen, I realized that these things were happening because they were meant to happen. And that's how my higher power worked for me. And now I'm so grateful that I've let that higher power into my life. And like somebody had said earlier, you know, as my sobriety continues, my higher power evolves. And even through this crisis, you know, my higher power is something that a little bit different than I thought it was a few weeks ago. So I am so glad to be here and see you all and hear you, Andy. And I appreciate everybody. For this, and thank you, Owen, for putting it on.
Thank you. John M.
Am I muted or unmuted?
No, you're good.
Well, good. This is a very interesting group. I've been sober for quite a few years, and one of the things that I've always held myself to is it wasn't so much of a God of my understanding, but a God of how I trusted. It's and that has been a stalwart for me for a long time. The last couple of years, I've really sensed a more of a yearning of, you know, what's missing. My first few years, when it was just me, I had the third step prayer tacked up on a pegboard right next to my coffee machine. You know, I was single, I had a small apartment, so every day I saw that third step prayer, and it really resonated, and it helped me through the door into the world and back into my my little world. I found prime time here during this whole shutdown, and I do find it really, really interesting. I do believe, and more so today than ever, that I've just got today. And it's gotten away from me over the years, because as my world got busier, my family grew, my responsibilities grew, I took less and less time for the ism. I haven't drank in over 30 years. I've been active in AA for over 30 years. But there's something that really resonates when I hear the sharing here at the, with this philosophy and this way of looking at it. And I really appreciate you guys and gals being here. And I do, I'm in New Jersey, and I do hope that when we can all get outside and see each other, that I can make some more contact with people in my area to really help me on this, I guess, new phase of my journey. So thank you very much.
Thank you, John. Thomas, would you like to share? Rouse you from your comfort?
Thanks, I'm Thomas. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Thomas.
Andy, thank you so much. I really appreciate the I just got turned on to this group last week, and I've been listening to the speaker tapes, and I so identify with the thinking, the repetitive negative thoughts, and you know, that's my problem. The drugs and alcohol, not my problem. It's my mind that's my problem. And I feel like there's some hope now. You know, there's some light at the end of the tunnel. I've been going to therapy for years, but we haven't touched on any of this. And I just feel like I just feel like there's, you know, I'm having some clarity. And, you know, just with your story about Costco, I mean, I so identify. That's my whole life. You know, my whole life is living in fear. And, you know, the meditation and the prayer really helped me. But I can't do that all the time. I can't do that every minute of every second of every day. So I need to, you know, if I can just keep this concept as close to the chest as possible, I can get back to it as, you know, as often as possible. And so I guess that's what I got. Thanks for calling on me.
Thank you, Thomas. The trouble is the disease for me lives in every moment of every day. And the more freedom I have really depends on how much I reach out as often as possible, and I have my disease treated in the moment that I'm in. That's really what prime time is. My understanding is prime is the best, and the time is now. So if you know, when I want the best treatment, I have to be willing to to look at my disease in the moment I'm in, because that's the only time I can treat it, is now. Prime Time is now. That's the name of the website. And it's a tall order. It's a very tall order, but a wonderful one, too. Who else would like to share? How about Ms. Galaxy J7?
Oh, it's me.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it doesn't say my name. It just says Ms. Galaxy. That's funny. Hi, my name is Mari. I'm an alcoholic. And I don't know what to say. Thank you. It was really great. What really reminded me or stood out to me what you said was really like the when you, I think you quoted Bob Anderson saying that, you know, that we only have the day, well, let's see if it's 16, but like the daily routine. But I can't live off yesterday's spirituality. Like, I had a great day today, but I have an alcoholic mind, and I know, like, they could be completely different. Because my disease just wants to try and come back every day. But, and another thing is that I think, that doesn't mean for the surrender, that I need to surrender my life to my higher power and every day, sometimes every minute. Like today there's an issue that I like a little thing somebody said, and it just took me to project fear in the future. And I'm like, this is how my disease functions. And I just need to stay in today because I've always been taken care of so far. So I just need to take action that I need to do and trust God and keep surrendering on a moment-by-moment basis in my life and try not to listen to the fear. I think I had some meeting a couple of days ago. I think somebody said it was really powerful. They said, worry is the most powerful prayer you don't want an answer to. And I thought that was just great. So instead of stay with the higher power, your God, whatever you want to call it, and keep surrendering at every moment. And I think that is my most important lesson that I have heard today. So thank you very much, everybody. I think that's enough for me.
Thank you. Howard, would you like to share?
Okay, I'm Howard. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Howard.
A lot of things occurred to me with your share, Andy. You're talking about not having to understand God, and, you know, I didn't get that when I first started doing this. I felt I had to understand God in order to be able to do all of this, and I came to the same conclusion after a while that really my understanding isn't the point. The point, you know, I have to come to believe. And then what I have to do is find a way to apply that belief to my life. Because one thing I did get early on was that A is a practical program. It's about, and Bob Anderson says it's about applying principles, spiritual principles to your life. And so it's application. And that means it's not something that's a theoretical. I don't have an idea about God that's going to keep me sober. I have a tool in my toolkit that is going to help me treat my alcoholic mind, you know, minute by minute. So I found that, coming to believe, I had to do some attempt at understanding myself to get to the point where I could believe. But really, I ended up with just a few things that I felt I had to have in my understanding in order to be able to do, to apply God in my life. And one was that just basically a power exists. And I had to decide that was true. And, you know, because my mind is powerful and I wasn't about to give it up without a struggle. And, you know, and that then I thought I had to trust this power, and I was in a real quandary because I couldn't trust anyone because, again, my mind was very powerful and I wasn't about to let go of control, and that's self. In Prime Time, that's the power of self saying, I will not give up. And I found out that what I really needed was courage to take the leap, trusting or not trusting. And that the trust came later, and somebody said, after the fifth step and into the sixth step, that's when it really did flood in for me too, where I really understood that this was working and that I was getting, I mean, I had gotten benefits from just surrendering in step three, but, you know, where it really started showing up in my life and that I developed the trust in that. The other deal is, this is about my mind. My alcoholism is in my mind, and that shows up in for me in a negative narrative. It's a story that I continuously tell about my life that has got negative features. A lot of it has to do with my ego bracing myself against the world and saying, you're about to attack me, and so I'm setting myself up for conflict because I think, oh, you're going to tell me this, and I'm going to tell you that, you know, and this is how I'm going to respond to this attack and that attack. And it's a very unhealthy thing for me. I found out that even if I'm below, if it's happening in the subconscious, and Thibaut says this is all unconscious. It's happening below the level of consciousness. That even if it's there, I am listening to that narrative. I'm getting convinced by that. And, you know, if I'm telling myself I'm miserable, then I am miserable. And if I am afraid, then if I'm telling myself I'm afraid, then I'm afraid. And, you know, so I have to reset the narrative, and I can't do that by myself. That's the point of a higher power for me. I cannot tell any other story. I can try. I can stop, and I can reset on my own and say, geez, I shouldn't think that way. But my mind goes right back into the negative stuff, of its own volition, without my control, without my wanting to, without my permission. I go back to thinking that way. And the only way I can stop for a considerable period is to pray about and ask God, ask a higher power to help me with that thinking. So, like, yesterday, my wife and I both have, my fiance and I both have health issues, and we've been not going out. We've been very careful in this, but I've been using, delivery grocery services to get the groceries. It's a godsend. There's this one service that has been working, but then suddenly, you know, on Friday, I tried to order something, and it wouldn't deliver till Tuesday. So, oh, my God, they're being swamped. Okay, so I made the order. Tuesday, the shopper called me. We texted back and forth and adjusted the order. And then it was delivered, only it wasn't delivered. And, you know, it was said delivered. And the shopper disappeared and no delivery. So something was wrong. And I went apeshit. I went crazy because was not foremost in my mind. I was just outraged that this had happened, and I was incensed, and I was out for blood. And, you know, and it took me a while to reset and get to the point where I realized that what I was doing is I thought my life depended on delivery groceries. And it doesn't depend on delivery groceries. I've got plenty of food. I've got plenty of toilet paper. I've got all that stuff. This was just my weekly order. It's one little blip. Okay, that's number one. And number two, I've been in IT all my life. Those poor people are swamped. Their business has gone right through the roof, and they have not scaled, and they've had continual problems. Sometimes you can't log in because their login servers are all screwed up. And, you know, they're in big, I mean, you know, have a little compassion for my fellow man. You know, these are my fellow nerds, you know. I'd be having a hell of a time if I was working for them. So those two considerations helped me, you know, and I got there by asking God for relief. And I got to asking God because I felt like crap, because I felt bad. And I got to ask myself, what's wrong, you know? And there's that adage in AA that if something is wrong in my life, it's something wrong with me. And it's not that, you know, the external circumstances are my fault or anything. It's got to do with my attitude towards it. It's got the way I'm responding to it. And And I found that to be so true for my own life. So anyway, I do a prayer. I ask God, please help me with my thinking. And what I get then is that clarity. Okay, your life doesn't depend on it. These guys are having trouble. And I calm down, you know, and I'm just fine. And I end up getting through the day with a whole lot more comfort and a lot more peace. And that's what I'm after. I've never had a peaceful life. I mean, the only way I've found a peaceful life is by doing this stuff. And it's such a blessing. So anyhow, that's enough for me.
Thank you, Howard. Would anyone else like to share? Should I keep calling on people, Howard, or should we end early?
Well, I'd go at least an hour. Go ahead. We have other people. You can pass, by the way, if you don't want.
Danny, are you still there?
Yeah, thanks, Andy. I'm Danny Alcoholic.
Hey, Danny.
Good to see you. Good to see you, Howard. Thanks for last night. You know, you talked about that gift card last night with Costco, and you know, I was kind of chuckling as you were talking about it last night, this morning, because you know, I definitely relate. You know, it's not what you know they're doing to me; it's what I'm doing to myself. You know, that's you know my head. You know, my head tells me I'll just run over to Costco, you know, run in and get what I need, and get out. You know, but the reality is that everybody else has got you know reason to be there too. For one thing or the other, you know, and my head tells me that, you know, I should go right to the front of the line, you know, and that's just not how it is. You know, I love the prime time message, you know, I got an issue going on. I got a couple issues going on. Well, I got a lot, really. I got life going on, but, you know, two things that really are, you know, just occupying my mind, you know, one of it is that, you know, I've got a mind that tells me I don't got, you know, a disease. I've got a mind that tells me that, you know, I can have a couple of peanut M&Ms this morning. You know, and last week my mind was telling me I can have a couple of cookies in the morning. You know, and I'm trying to stay on this diet that, you know, I was on last year that I lost a lot of work because I was disciplined. You know, I wasn't listening to my mind or I wasn't listening, you know, to the voices outside. You know, I was doing what I wanted to do, you know. And, you know, right now, it's a struggle. You know, I put on like 13 pounds in like 4 months, you know, after losing about 40 pounds on just, you know, cutting out the sugar, cutting out, you know, desserts, cookies, candy, all that kind of stuff. You know, and just eating what, you know, is in front of me, what I'm, you know, trying to do, you know, and, you know, the last couple mornings, it's been the same thing. You know, I went 3 days, you know, when I have somebody that's watching me. But when I'm left to my own devices, when I'm left alone, you know, what's a couple of peanut M&Ms? Well, it's the sugar, you know, because I just can't have a couple of peanut M&Ms. You know, I've had two handfuls, you know, so there goes the couple. You know, but my mind tells me it's okay. You know, so one of the reasons why, you know, I have the, you know, I don't have my picture up. You know, when we first came on with the meeting, you know, I got here, you know, late. I wanted to get here early to set up and have lunch before, but I ate lunch as you were sharing. So thank you for that. You know, now I'm on the treadmill, you know, trying to sweat those, you know, my mind tells me if I just stay on the treadmill for a half hour, you know, I can sweat those couple handfuls of peanut M&Ms, you know, it's the sugar, you know, and it's not that, you know. I've got to stop listening to my mind in the morning, you know, and ask for help. And that help is a power greater than myself. You know, so thanks, Andy. Thanks for your share, you know, and thanks for the primetime message, Howard. Thank you,
Danny.
John, are you out there still?
Yeah, I'm here. Here I am. John Alcoholic.
Hey, John.
And Like Danny, I was doing a little exercise. I found this 12 o'clock meeting slot to work real well for me. In terms of parlaying my time, I'm able to go to a meeting and ride the spinner bike or do some other exercise. And, you know, like Danny was saying, you know, for me, it's a, you know, a moderate level of exercise on a regular basis is, you know, it's part of my program of recovery. It helps treat my mind. I'm one of those people that gets a strong sense of well-being after some pretty, you know, strong, after aggressive physical exercise. I don't know if it's the endorphins or whatever it is, but, you know, my body seems to appreciate that. And not just physically, but mentally. Thanks for your share, Andy. Boy, I don't know. He gave Randy a run for his money today. You were talking about, you know, reading the book, and we spent some time this morning reading Bob's book. And, if you know, there's some people from other parts of the country. I'm not sure you're familiar with it, but there's a little book called Mind Power Disease that is a transcription of some retreats by Bob Anderson, who was the sort of founder of this format. You know, he was a guy with a lot of time, and he had some sponsees, and eventually the sponsees had sponsees, and you know, he gave a lot of retreats, and he was not a well-versed kind of guy. He was not a guru by any sorts. He wasn't a circuit speaker, but he got a pretty clear perception of what he was up against sober, and he got that fairly early in his recovery. And then 44 years later, he had stayed sober and shared that experience with a lot of people down in the LA area. A lot of men initially, and then women, and that's what's evolved into this prime time meeting format. And so if you haven't had an opportunity to review his book, Mind Power Disease, I suggest it. I read a little of that. A lot of people have daily readers. They read a little 24-hour book or daily reflections or, you know, various other things. I read a little Emmett Fox's Sermon on the Mount. And I read a little of Bob's book, and I've been doing that now for a number of years. And every day there's some things – every day I identify with one of his observations about his own recovery, about his own disease, as you called it, the pathology of the mind. And, you know, that identification is important because then I can take that identification, and because I've been well-sponsored and I've done the work. I have solutions that come to mind. And, you know, you gave the example this morning, which has not been a one-time example about, you know, we sit on the avenue and I'm talking or you're talking. And then you say to me, did you see how that guy tried to park, you know, and you shared that example again today and it goes on and on. I mean, you've done it numerous times, which means your radar, your perceptive radar on people's parking habits is clearly well established, you know. Mine is well established too around, you know, lots of a lot of specific situations. I can predict if I'm objective and I'm watching my thoughts, I can predict how I will think as a reaction to seeing and experiencing certain things. Most often, things that I determine or deem to be negative. So I do have that fault-finding mind. And like you, you know, this disease needs to be treated in the moment I'm in the minute I'm in. And I like how you put it. And, you know, you really went back to the core. This is called prime time because, you know, Bob would suggest that, you know, we should have the best life. We should be free. And the time we want to be free is now, not, you know, not later. I like when Randy shares occasionally, he'll say, you know, I waited all day to come to this meeting at 7:30 in the evening to get a program of recovery. And, you know, I was sober a long time and, you know, my program of recovery was pretty bookended. You know, I did the work and then I'd get up in the morning and ask for help and I'd go to bed and say thanks. And then during the day, you know, who knows? I was most often the power for my life. And, you know, sometimes that went well and sometimes it went horribly. And, you know, today it's significantly different. And I've come to believe in a power of my understanding. You know, I've had understandings over and over again. I've had small awakenings over and over again. And so I've come to, you know, believe and rely on something other than myself. And in doing so, I'm not like constantly praying with worry. You know, I talked to you about a couple of examples this morning. And, you know, if they're, you know, like Howard said, things are going to go wrong. I had a delivery problem too, Howard. And, you know, I made the appropriate inquiries with UPS and with the ship, you know, with the vendor. And then I started, you know, after a little while, I was able to go, okay, God, I'll put it in your hands. And, you know, lo and behold, a little over a week later, it gets delivered. And, but, you know, initially I go to self. Okay, what do I have to do? What actions do I need? That's all great. But, you know, I don't want to get caught up in the worry of it, because for me, I've come to recognize when I'm worrying, even if it's not conscious, it could be going on subconsciously. And those subconscious anxieties and concerns and unresolved problems and those things, those are basically prayers. And I'm affecting my conscious. I'm affecting what's going on in the moment I'm in, because they're running in the background as an application. And, you know, so I try to nip those in the bud. And if I can't get them in a 10-step in the bud, then I hopefully can bring them to light in the evening when I do an 11-step review. But anyway, thanks so much for having this meeting, Howard, and thanks, Andy, for sharing.
Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Sobercast is ad-free, and we'd like your help in order to keep it that way. So if you'd like to help us be self-supporting by pledging $1 or $2 a month, visit Sobercast.com and look for the donate links. Thank you very much.